that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow,
good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. I'd almost joke with you and say, hey, send firewood, but we got plenty of firewood. But it's a cold morning here at the Radio Ranch, single digits, wind chill below zero. Ah, gotta love Wyoming in the fall. Well, good morning to you. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And I hope everybody's snuggled in nice and warm with your hot coffee and good warm socks. And hey, it's that time of year. It's time for it to be cold. Time for the bugs and the flies and the mosquitoes to be killed off. And it gets a little colder than this for a few weeks. Might kill some of those bark beetles. That's what, you know, it's amazing how God knows what he's doing. But we do welcome you here. The program is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Pleased to report we've had, I think I had three contacts this week of new listeners. People said, hey, I heard your coffee program. I'm going to be tuning in next week. And so, praise the Lord, the message is getting out. The broadcasts are going out strong on shortwave and on the internet and the audio satellite all over the world, as well as all over the country. And we do thank you, the remnant, that support us, that allow, that provide for these broadcasts to be able to go out. Well, where we go today, who knows? There's plenty of current events from bad news to worse. There's good news out there, too. You just don't usually see it in the newspaper. But we'll open up with prayer, and we'll ask Jason to do that. And where we go from there, who knows? Jason?
Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this day that you've given us and for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the snow. We thank you for the moisture that you've given us, Father. We thank you for the things, Father, that so often we don't thank you for. We thank you for the trials and tribulations that you put us through. And, Father, we thank you for the love that you have for your people, Father. And we want to praise you for that, Father. We recognize that without you we are nothing, and we just want to give you praise and glory for all the many things that you do for us on an everyday basis, Father, that we don't stop and thank you for, not near enough. Father, we ask, Father, that you just continue to guide us and direct us in all that we do. Pour out more of your Holy Spirit upon us. Give it to us, Father, that you can give us that the Spirit that we need to have, Father. You fill us with that Holy Spirit so that we can have the Spirit that we need to have, Father, to take back this country, Father, to take back this nation, to overcome the world, Father. We desire to do your will, Father, and we just come to you for guidance and for wisdom and for knowledge and for understanding, and we pray that you deliver us from the hands of our enemies, the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the powers of the dog, and the forces that come against us on so many fronts, Father. As we read these headlines today, Father, we recognize that our enemies are working overtime, Father, that they're just coming at us from every different front, Father, that they possibly can, everything that they know how. Well, Father, we come to you as our deliverer, our stronghold, and we cling to you, Father, and we know that greater are the forces that are for us than the forces that are against us, and we claim that for us and our families, our wives and our children. And we just ask, Father, that you continue to move us in a mighty and powerful way on the direction that we're to go and what we're to do and how we're to combat these forces of hell, these spiritual forces of wickedness, everything that comes against us. We claim these things and stand upon them in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Jesus Christ is on the throne. Hallelujah. If you're reading your Bibles, as Jason prayed, you know, we should be thankful for the tribulations that come our way, because they mold us, they shape us, they teach us, they train us to become the Christian that our God needs us and wants and desires us to be. If you're reading through Acts, that's where we're at in our Bible reading plan. You're reading a lot of Paul here, and Paul at Ephesus, and Paul's journeys. And, you know, it was not an easy time for Paul. You know, he didn't have an entourage like these rock stars today with the big tour buses and, you know, 45 people to go and set things up and to pave the way and to provide food and a personal caterer and all that. No, it wasn't that way. We have to remember that. It wasn't that way. But if you remember back the words of Christ when he was going to call Paul, when he was having to speak to, was it Ananias that he had to go and Ananias that came to Paul.
Ananias, yeah.
And you know, and when he first goes to when God first presents himself to Ananias and says, hey, go and, you know, heal this guy, speak to him, I want the Holy Spirit to fall upon him. Ananias says, Lord, he's a bad guy. You know, he's been persecuting us. He's been, you know, he doesn't say he's been killing us, but it says that that Paul was approved of the murders of Christian, or when he was Saul. And so in the earthly realm, you know, Ananias, who was a faithful Christian, I mean, he was called on the Holy Spirit to go and heal this man. And he says, you know, Lord, this is a bad guy. But God had bigger plans. There was no doubt that Saul was a bad guy. And he was evil. And he had, or had at least done evil things. And killed and persecuted Christians. But remember, God tells him. He says, no. He says, you go and take care of this for me. Because I have, and I'm going to show him how much he must suffer for my sake. And yeah, here it is right here in Acts 9. We read it last week or first of the week. It says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And so, you know, Jason, when you prayed this morning, that's what came to mind, is that we need to thank God for... We don't try to suffer, but we need to thank him when he brings trials and storms in our life. because then we get to see, we get to kind of feel firsthand maybe how it was with Paul and how, as he said here, how much we might have to suffer at times for his name's sake. But we also remember that nothing that we suffer or do without here is not without its reward in Christ. Sorry, John.
No, there's I think something that we miss sometimes too is our God is the same today, tomorrow, and forever, and he is not mocked.
Amen.
And when we go through these trials and tribulations, we understand that God keeps his word. But the good news is, he keeps his word when it comes to discipline, but he also keeps his word regarding deliverance, regarding the blessings that he will bestow upon his people if they but keep his commandments, his statutes, and his laws. And that's what we need to stand on. We need to, all the answers to the, every predicament that we have, every situation that we have, the victory is ours if we search in the answer book that he gave us, which is the Holy Bible. And just, you know, we all know, if you've seen any of the videos of what's going on in Europe, then we understand what the United Nations and what the Antichrist, the New World Order, is trying to do to mainly the white Anglo-Saxon, Christian, German, Scandinavian, and Celtic people. And let's see. So this morning I went back to Joel, and starting chapter 1, verse 2. Hear this, O elders, and listen, all inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days or in your father's days? Tell your sons about it, and let your sons tell their sons, and their sons the next generation. What the gnawing locust has left, the swarming locust has eaten, and what the swarming locust has left, the creeping locust has eaten, and what the creeping locust has left, the stripping locust has eaten. Awake, drunkards, and weep and wail, all you wine drinkers, on account of the sweet wine that is cut off before your mouth. For a nation has invaded my land, mighty and without number. Its teeth are like the teeth of a lion, and it has the fangs of a lioness. It has made my wine a waste. My vine a waste, excuse me, and my fig tree splinters, and it has stripped them bare and cast them away. Their branches have become white. Wail like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the bridegroom of her youth. The grain offering and the drink offering are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn, the ministers of the Lord. The field is ruined, the land mourns, for the grain is ruined, the new wine dries up. Fresh oil fails. Be ashamed, O farmers. Wail, O vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is destroyed. The vine dries up, and the fig tree fails. The pomegranate and the palm also, and the apple tree, all the trees of the field dry up. Indeed, rejoicing dries up from the sons of men. Gird yourselves with sackcloth and lament, O priests. Wail, O ministers of the altar. Now remember this. God says that we're all priests. So this isn't just for the leaders of the churches. This is for all that call themselves Christian followers of Jesus Christ. Gird yourselves with sackcloth and lament, O priests. Wail, O ministers of the altar. Come, spend the night in the sackcloth, O ministers of my God. For the grain offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. And if you've seen these videos of what's going on in Greece and Germany, and I mean, you can see that this is exactly what's happening. And if you read on, you know, I'm not going to read the whole book of Joel, but I encourage you to if you want to understand what's going on.
Amen. Amen. You're right. God is not mocked. He's not. And we are certainly seeing it in the current events of the day. Of the day. Well, Jason, what's been coming across your video screen, your computer screen? I know you keep an eye on a lot of the world, the world, Reuters and the different news organizations that we don't see here?
No, I mean, same old story, different day, it seems like, recently. You know, it's pretty obvious that we got, there's some major Jewish influence going on in, on everything that we're seeing. I mean, and that's coming more to light. And it's interesting because actually they've taken some heat over it in the last couple of days. You know, talking about that that Paris bombing, that, you know, we had some really interesting insight come across on that, as, you know, as far as the terrorist goes. And I'm looking to see if I got my notes here, but you know, one of the things was is you know, that building that they were meeting at was a the shape of the building was in an obelisk type pyramid shape with all-seeing eyes sitting on top of it. The band that was playing at the concert was Kiss the Devil. The leader of the band that was up there that was singing called himself Satan. You know, you start looking at all these things and start tying it together, it was pretty obvious it was a blood sacrifice that was taking place right there. You look at, you know, the people that were there, Geraldo Rivero's daughter was there. You look at, you know, so many of these things, and it's just so obvious that it was just a setup deal right from the beginning. It was a sacrifice to their gods. And as I thought about it and I started looking into some of this stuff, you know, it became pretty clear that is what is taking place is, you know, is they sacrifice to their god, and we know that they have these blood sacrifices. You know, we can talk about blood sacrifices. I believe 9/11 was one. Yes. You know, you look at, you know, Oklahoma City bombing, all these different events that we've had, not all of them, but a lot of them have been blood sacrifices to their gods. They always pick key days, they do them in certain ways, shapes, and forms, and there's always a certain amount of information that trickles out that you can find out about afterwards. You know, one thing that tells me, too, is that, you know, they're desperate, that they're losing connections with their God. And when they have to do sacrifices like this, they do it because they need that empowerment, because they've lost something. They use them as a way of reconnecting to their gods. And, you know, when I looked at and found out a lot of this stuff and started reading, I mean, I don't want to go into any of the graphic details of some of the stuff that was taking place there, but it was bad. And it gave me, first of all, it reassured me that there was no Christians there, you know. There wouldn't be any Christians there, at least any in their right mind, that's for sure. You know, now, how many of those would eventually become Christians, you know, you don't really know, but, you know, that's in God's hands. But you look at what has taken place, and it's kind of reassuring when you can see, you know, that our God is working, and they have to go out and they have to sacrifice blood, you know, hundreds of people to their God to make that connection with their God. You know, we don't have to do that. Our blood sacrifice has already been bought and paid for. And, you know, I think that's you know, important to remember.
Amen.
Good point.
Excellent point.
And, you know, before, you know, when we talked about this, you know, it was a terrorist attack. Well, you know, it's there's more than meets the eye there. And, you know, just talk about a demonic orgy is what was taking place there. And, you know, it kind of puts a different perspective in, you know, the way you look at things when you hear stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I think that, you know, I think a lot of this is that, you know, of what we talked about, you know, John, we were talking about, you know, how long ago when we were talking about, you know, these the Catholicism being part of the organization that funded and started the Muslim, the you know, whatever they call it.
Islam.
You know, and I and we're seeing more of that. I mean, you know, now we're seeing where, you know, these Jewish nations, these nations, that they're funding ISIS. I mean, you know, it's like you follow, one thing that always tells a really good story is follow the money. Just follow the money. Start looking where the money's coming from. How are they funding this? How are they funding that? And it usually leads you to that, most of the time, unseen third party. And, you know, that's telling.
Along the lines of that, I was reading this morning, the Catholic Church was paid over $79 million this year just for resettling immigrants. And what people don't realize is when they say, oh, we have 1,800 Syrian refugees that have been brought in since 2008, whatever, that's Syrian refugees. I'm sure the number's a lie, but that's just Syrian refugees. The fact of the matter, by their own numbers, is over 80,000 a year have been brought in since at least 2009.
Yeah.
80,000. So if you wonder why the demographics are changing. Exactly. And if you wonder why the demographics are changing when you go to sporting events, when you go to your school functions and things like that, if you wonder why the grocery store you see more, that's why. It's the invasion of the locus of Joel, and, you know, they play chess and we play checkers, and they started playing chess a long time ago when they we started causing disruption in the Middle East. And you think about it, they even, you know, we actually were, in their eyes, who knows, but winning the war, and then all of a sudden pulled back all the troops and let them regain everything that they had. And, you know, President Putin says the U.S. created ISIS, and he's right, because they're fighting with U.S. arms that we gave to the Syrian rebels to supposedly remove Assad, which they've already removed in Lebanon and Egypt, and brought the Muslim Brotherhood in. So what we're witnessing is nothing more than a caliphate, because it's only the Muslims that they're letting into the country. That's what people miss.
Exactly. And their weapons of warfare. I mean, they've been, and we invaded their country, you know, 20, what was it? How many years ago was it? In the first Gulf Wars.
We were fighting back in 91 with the invasion of Kuwait.
Yeah.
In 1991.
So, yeah.
So that was like, what, 24 years ago.
Yeah, been at war ever since.
Yeah. You know, and the thing is...
Well, look who's behind it. Like you said, it's if you look at what the Pope has said from the very beginning, it's all in line. That's what this climate change is about. And the other thing that struck me today, I went back and I looked at that teaching I brought on the Georgia Guidestones. Remember that their first commandment is population no more than 500 million.
100,000.
Yeah, 500,000, I guess, whatever it is. But, I mean, what is that, a reduction of people? Like 3 billion, at least?
Yeah, that's their plan. And that's why you see in all of the movies and the books and the things that they put out for the last 20 to 30 years, they all talk of this, you know, this death and destruction that comes. Oh, and then it's the, you know, whether it's a zombie apocalypse or you know, a few people surviving here or there, or having to fly off to Mars to, you know, because we've killed the Earth. You see that recurring theme in all of their writings, in their movies. It's death and destruction is what they worship, and they promote it. And, you know, our unfortunately, our people have jumped right on the bandwagon, because it's our people that support this trash that they put out, this way that our enemy sees the future.
Yeah. Well, you can see that, like we exposed when we brought out that series of messages about who created Islam, and if you look closely at even the Catholic churches today, those Roman Catholic churches that have been in this country for centuries, you know, for hundreds of years or whatever, they if you look closely, you'll see those crescent moons in different places. But even now, I was reading an article this morning as well. The Holy Trinity Roman Catholic Church in Syracuse, New York, was closed down by the Catholic Church and has now been leased to the Islamic Society, who's gone in there and removed all of the crosses. I'm sure they were crucifix. So, but anyways, some weighing as much as 600 pounds and replaced them all with crescent moons. So you can see the...
And the people just, bah. Well, you know, because they're...
Yeah.
Because the dirty birds in so many of the pulpits tell the people, oh, this is what you have to do. They've castrated the men, they've neutered them, and they say, well, this is what you have to do. Well, guys, phone's ringing this morning. What do you say we take a phone call? Good morning.
Sure, absolutely.
Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, good morning. You're talking about the Mohammedans and stuff. I thought I'd share a little bit of thinking on my part as I study things. I recall reading about the history of the doings of the civilizations and so forth. And when you read about the history of Europe, you're reading really as well before the beginnings of what we call the nation state and Rome and things. You will see that it is all intimately tied in with that Roman Church and its doings. And I do believe that one of the biggest deceptions of the Antichrist and that Roman Church and the popes and their priests is that the seat of Christ resides, so to speak, in the city of David in Palestine, that area, Jerusalem, when in fact that whole area was condemned in 70 AD. And I believe that at one point, very soon after the movement that's known as Islam, that whole movement was on the wane in a serious manner. And when the Pope and his underlings told the people that the so-called Holy Land must be taken back from them for the Church. The Church at that time was Roman Catholicism, so to speak. That was the dominant movement. If you go there and fight for the Pope, you will be guaranteed a place in heaven. And that's that whole movement. I believe there were three main crusading movements in there, and that only served to jumpstart that whole Mohammedan movement. If you think about it, that's when it all began to be like a rebirth. That whole thing over there, and it's just been smoldering over there ever since. Now it's first thing.
Islam accomplishes two goals. It they hate the Jews, the Roman Catholics as well, because they want Jerusalem. So it created a force to try to take Jerusalem, and it also created a force that hates Christians and kills Christians, which also the leaders of... I mean, the bottom line is the architect is Satan. It's good versus evil, period. And when you figure that out, it's a little easier to fight the battle.
Yeah, I've got some notes here. That I've been writing down here, and the answer to What's that scripture when, I guess it was Paul said, we worship in spirit and truth? Just that knocks down the falsehood that we have to worship in the Holy Land physically.
Yeah, that was all put forth as, you know, and that totally ignores how the Bible talks of the new Jerusalem. It really does. Well, Joe, thanks for the call. We're going to try to get this other caller on the line. Have a great weekend, brother. And we'll take, just have to give us a call back, 307-745-5913. There it is. And we'll see if we can get you on here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Hello, good morning. Well, the line's on. I guess nobody there. Well, the phone lines are open this morning, folks. 307-745-5913. If you want to give us a call in, talking about some of the Islamic issues that are driving this worldwide terror and bombings. Let's try the phone line again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Hello, caller. Well, maybe that's an automated caller. Sometimes we get those automated sales calls that come through on this line occasionally.
It's interesting what's been going on with the down in Denver, Colorado, where but you look at what's happened with the Syrian refugees, in the last 2 weeks, and they have. A lot of countries just stopped, put it on hold, saying, okay, we don't want any more of them. Is what's happened since then is that it was interesting to see who was pushing to get them to come to the United States and for us to open our arms and accept them. You know, it was the Catholic Church, the Pope, that whole organization had a big, huge push on it for bringing them to the United States. Obama had a big push on it. And, you look at, they had a big vote and they've had meetings on it. They had a big meeting in Denver on it. And this, Hickenlooper, all our representatives, it's just, it just makes you angry to see what they have to say. But, they went through and they looked at the screening process and wanted to decide if the screening processes were adequate for our safety, and they determined that the screening processes were adequate and that we needed to open our arms and accept them with open arms. And it's almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. But believe it, because it's happening. It's happening right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing is, they attack Christianity everywhere they can, and then they use that as the reason, compassion, we're a Christian nation. You know, first, we've never been a Christian nation, but now it's, well, we're a Christian nation. It wouldn't be right or humane.
Yeah. They play on your moral side.
To not allow these.
Yeah,
these,
but the stupid sheep are like, bah. Yeah.
They really are.
It's amazing.
You know, there's news reports coming out that down in Phoenix, that they're a potential hotbed is the way the news reports it for for this terror recruiting. And the news report I'd read talked of these Saudi nationals and for lack of a better term, ragheads being caught without visas, without proper paperwork, they research them and they say, well, there's been no, the new term now is derogatory information. I don't know if you've seen that lately in the last few weeks of the news reports when we're so-called checking out these Saudi nationals and Afghans and Pakistanis that are young men from 18 to 50 years old that they say, oh, they're here on student visas. And so the FBI finds no derogatory information on them, so they let them go. They're fine.
and now they're saying down in Phoenix where the two the former neighborhood of Elton Simpson and Nassar Sufi, they were the two men that were killed in Garland, Texas, here last year. When they came in and were going to try to shoot up the gathering there of, I don't know if it was Judicial Watch or who, but somebody was gathering there trying to warn the people of this radical Islamic movement. And these two guys from the North Phoenix drove to Texas, and remember, they were shot and killed there. You don't hear much about that anymore, you know. Nobody even remembers that hardly. But we have Islamicists that have beheaded people in Oklahoma. We have things like this that have happened. And, you know, the sheep, you know, who's playing tomorrow? I bet you Elway throws for 500 yards tomorrow. Yep, I'll bet you a case of Budweiser on that. You're on, buddy. You know, yep.
I doubt Elway is. And,
well, you know, whoever it is. Heck, I don't know them. You know, I don't follow that mess. Yeah, Elway won't. So old Tex would lose that bet. But that's what the people, that's what catches their interest, you know. Oh, they'll go down and buy a terrorist hunting license and put it on their F-250 truck. Yes, sirree, buddy, don't mess with me. But the sheep are just, they are lost without a shepherd. It's as simple as that. And when the people, his people, who are called by his name, in this new J-E-R-U-S-A, L-E-M, this new Jerusalem of America, being apart from Christ, just trying to do your own thing, having your own relationship, all that kind of stuff. Hey, this terror, you know, certainly has the potential to come right upon you.
Yeah, if you read the verse Joe was mentioning is in John 4, verses 23 and 24. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, the phone line's open.
Yeah, if you...
If you want to call in, go ahead, John.
If you watch those videos, particularly in Greece and in Germany, and you see the boats pull up, and these boats look like they're auto carriers or something, but the gate comes down, you know, in the front, and there is just hordes, like, I don't even know how many, but as much as that boat can carry, and that boat's sitting deep in the water, by the way, and... they're just coming in, and the police are kind of set up as in strategic places to kind of funnel them into the area where they want them. But boy, they're as soon as they see those hordes, they're hightailing it out of there. These poor people. I saw some night vision footage where you talk about an army of illegal immigrants just coming into a town. Now, I got news for you. You got 10,000 people surrounding your house. You ain't got enough bullets. You know, God's making sure that there is no way out of this but repentance and crying out to him. And it's going to have to be his people who are called by his name that do it. So as soon as we get that through our heads, as soon as we put this as our top priority, that's when he'll hear and answer our prayers. Because if you read in Joel, That's what happens. Finally, the people understand.
Amen. Yeah.
So, but there's something to this pig's blood, too. I think it's something I've been looking into a little bit more. Pastor Peters told us that story. Jason might be able to recount it a little bit better than me. But basically, there was an army of Islam that came against, I think it was the English army or something, but they had captured a number of their soldiers, and they were sentenced to death, firing squad, And he made sure that he dipped each one of the bullets in pig's blood before he put it into the rifle, chambered it, and then executed that member in the Army of Islam. But he let one of them live, and he sent that one back. And as soon as that one got back and told him what this general or whatever leader of the army was doing, they all fled. So there's something to it. I haven't quite figured it out, but Lord willing, I'm sure we will.
Yeah, that was a story with Black Jack Pershing. Happened in 1901, if I remember right. And what happened was, you know, he hunted him down. He got him. He captured him. They dug a pit. They chopped up the pigs. They threw the pigs in there. They made basically just a bloodbath of them. They executed him. They threw him in there. And they let the last one live so he could go back and tell the story. And, you know, he said, basically, go back and tell them, this is what I'm going to do to every one of them. And they had such a fear of that that they surrendered.
Yeah. I maintain if we loaded up a B-52 bomber with a bunch of pigs and dropped them from 10,000 feet, it would change the situation that we're dealing with Islam.
Yeah, but what about the poor pigs?
Quite a mess.
What about the poor pigs, though?
Yeah.
Well,
there's something to it, though. We need to look a little bit deeper into that. I think it's, I don't know exactly, you know, obviously I don't study Islam or nothing, but bottom line is there's a reason that they believe that if they contact that unclean blood or the pig or whatever, that they don't get their 70 virgins. I just started doing a little bit of research into that. Don't know many of the details.
Well, let's take this caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Richard. This is Joe again. Yeah, before that, there was in the British Empire, there was a big rebellion in India known as the Sepoy Mutiny. And the Sepoys were a Muslim contingent of the Indian Army under the British leadership there. And there was a rumor going in through the ranks that they were lubricating the bullets for the Indian contingent known as the Sepoys with pig fat. And it started that whole rebellion. So there's a lot to that. I just wanted to throw that in.
Hey, thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
All right.
Have a good one.
You too. 307-745-5913. Maybe everybody's sleeping in this Saturday morning. It's well, we're in the last week before Thanksgiving. Talked a little bit about that Thursday night. Going to talk about it a little bit, I think, at church tomorrow. So we invite you to come to church with us Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast. And hopefully you're getting ready for Thanksgiving here coming up pretty soon. Let's go back to the phone lines. Oh, boy, phones are they're ringing, but they're dropping right off. So not sure what's going on there. But we've sent quite a few of the Thanksgiving Day packets out. People wanting to know the truth about Thanksgiving. Our pastor did at least three messages. We include those in the Thanksgiving Truths packet. The three messages that Pastor Peters did over the years on Thanksgiving to try to put to rest and to try to get the truth, the real truth, that no, it wasn't the hordes of Indians that, quote, saved the pilgrims from certain starvation. That's what the Thanksgiving story is about. No, that's not the truth. There are truths about the one Indian Squanto that walked into the pilgrims' camp and asked if they had any beer. And that's kind of a pretty interesting story there. We'll try the phone lines again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, man. This is Willis.
Hey, good morning, Willis.
Hey,
hey, Willis. How are you?
Listen, I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing this morning?
Very well.
Filled with the Holy Spirit. Staying warm, I hope.
Yes.
I was listening to Joe's caller just a second ago, and I thought, you know, pig bacon's pretty cheap. Might be a good idea to maybe grab a pack or two of pig bacon and anoint a couple of these mosques and these meeting centers for these Muslims that are all around this country. Supposedly there's like 12,000 mosques in the United States. I wonder how many of them would get emptied out, not used anymore.
I think it's better if we anoint them with the anointing oil, though, brother.
Well,
slitting a pig's throat in the front yard wouldn't be a bad idea.
Same concept, that's for sure. Same concept.
Yeah. Yep. Something to think about. All right.
Yeah.
You guys have a fantastic weekend, and enjoy the show.
All right, Willis. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
God bless.
Yeah. Right. God bless you, too. Goodbye.
Well, I think we have to remember that greater is he that is for us than anything that can come against us. And, you know, again, 2 Chronicles 7:14 comes to mind. When? And, you know, that's a truth. When 2 Chronicles happens, when his people will do what it says, well, then the power, the wrath, the true, I think, grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God the Heavenly Father will be unleashed. When? I think we have all experienced it individually. You know, when the individual repents and realizes that, hey, we're born into sin and we have to repent. We have to not just do anything that comes to mind, and not everything we do is right. And when his people realize that and repent and believe on and in Jesus Christ, and then do what the Bible tells us to do, well, then it does give that gift of the Holy Spirit. It does open the people's eyes. It does allow them access. Is what is it, Psalms 103 that talks about, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits? Well, that's when his benefits are opened up. That's when his benefits, the benefits of God and the healings and the blessings are poured out upon the people that honor God. The way his word says, as you read there, John, not necessarily those that work with the church and set up a, you know, oh, we're all going to go visit the Holy Land. Won't that be pleasing to God? Oh, yes, let's go spend $6,000 or $8,000 per person, money we don't have, to go visit the Holy Land. That'll make us holy. And you know, the Antichrist just laugh all the way to the bank at it. No, that's not what accesses the blessings of God. It's being as Jesus Christ was.
Yeah, reading in...
and doing the will of the Father. Go ahead, John.
Reading in Acts, in chapter 4, Peter's prayer, starting in verse 29. And now, Lord, take note of their hearts, and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness.
Amen. Amen.
That's what we need to do.
Amen.
We need to be speaking the word of God with boldness. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is what we've been doing. Is, Lord, give us more Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, let's try the phone lines again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, fellas. It's Andy up in North Carolina. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Andy.
Hi,
Andy. Yeah, I was listening to you earlier. I wanted to comment, but I thought I'd wait and see who called in, but since nobody else did, this isn't anything new, but since, like you were talking about all these hordes coming in through here, these locusts of Joel, I tell you, if people can't see it, our people must be blind. There's like, before it used to be like lots of Mexicans and a handful of Asians and here and there, Chinese, you could recognize what they were, but now there's like a brown man coming in. People from all over the place, you can't even quite tell who they are. And if that wasn't bad enough, we're giving over our daughters and sons to them. They're marrying and intermarrying them, and they're having children by them, and illegitimate, and not even married probably. But I tell you, it's a terrible mess. Our people, man, it saddens me so much. Me and my family, we see it all the time, and nobody seems to notice it. The churches aren't saying nothing. They're mute dogs, these preachers. It's a sad boy. We got a lot to pray for, that's for sure.
Amen. Amen,
yeah.
It is.
You know, Andy, if you look back at what Obama said, Obama Nation said in 2008, he said, we need to diversify the neighborhoods in this country. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, we all just thought he was spreading the funds, but he's bringing them in here and spreading the funds to them when he brings them in.
Amen. He is.
Well, we got a lot to pray for and repent of, so thanks a lot, guys, for the program and all you're doing. Keep up the good work.
All right, Andy. Thank you. God bless, brother.
You too. Bye.
All right. And we'll try this other phone line. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, men. Hey, would it be okay if I prayed a short prayer?
Long as it's a good Christian prayer, absolutely.
All right. Heavenly Father, it looks like you're about to bring judgment on our nation. Our enemies are flooding our country with their people. But if you're bringing judgment on our nation, remember your covenant and your mercy and bring great revival in this nation. In your son's name, Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks, guys.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. And now the phone lines are ringing, and they seem to be working. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, good morning.
Oh, good morning there. There was a local call at my radio station here, and I just couldn't help but resist because the man know he told the truth in this world. You know, back in the President Kennedy, back 8 years in 08, they were saying that you can't lead from behind. But the gentleman put it so clear. He says he is not the administrator, commander-in-chief is not leading from behind. He's leading out of his behind. And I thought that was the truth in this world. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, guys, we're running out of time here. Just a couple more minutes left on this Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this Saturday morning, November 21st. You may hear this program at other times. We replay it throughout the weekend as well as on Monday evening because then it's on a different frequency, different shortwave, and has the opportunity to reach a different group. And so we thank you for listening and tuning in. Guys, anything to close out with today?
Yeah, why don't you read one of those from the mailbag? What's encouraging, folks, is that the word is getting out there. The scales are being removed from people's eyes, and their ears are being unstopped. The ones that the Lord has called. So all of these efforts that all of you make possible are having an effect. And the Bible's clear. It only takes one man who's willing to make that sacrifice. Well, we had that in our pastor for over 30 years. But it's our job to continue on where he left off and to take it wherever it is that the Holy Spirit leads us to gain this victory. But it's going to take hard work. It's going to take repentance. It's going to take fasting and prayer. It's going to take mighty men who boldly proclaim that they will not bow their knee to Baal. So if you want to pick one of those from the mailbag, Richard, maybe read that just as a positive note to close out.
Sure. Well, I grabbed every newsletter but the latest one. But we do let you know that our Volume 8 newsletter is on the website. We've mailed it out. We've emailed out the interactive online version. And if you would like to have those, yeah, here, I grabbed that Volume 8 as well. We'd be glad to send it to you. Our address, if you would like it, Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. How about this one? Dear SFA, interestingly enough, we had friends visiting over the weekend who believe much like us. Last night, we were discussing Ephraim and Manasseh. Our children were shocked when they heard your Sunday message this morning, October 4th. Strange how the Holy Spirit guided our conversation. And, you know, we've found that out many, many times. One of us will bring a communion message or a scriptural insight or a welcome and a short message there. And then when we see the sermon that we have from our pastor that might have been preached 20 years ago, many times we see many of the same things that are mentioned, that are brought up, the same type of subjects. And that is truly the moving of the Holy Spirit. And I think it's some of the signs that God gives us. Here's another one. Says, thank you for that.
Yeah, we have no prior knowledge
of
what the message is going to be. Jason just lets the Holy Spirit lead regarding picking those messages for the remnant.
Yeah. Here's another one from North Carolina. It says, thank you for that timely live message this Sunday, as well as the last mini message and monthly prayers as of late to help us, quote, humble ourselves and pray. Here's one from Connecticut. Says, I just wanted to send you a note of appreciation to thank you for what you do. I cannot live without your ministry. I find it so ironic, if that's the correct word, that I even found your ministry back in 2009. It is such a small ministry that I somehow managed to find, but it has a worldwide impact. And, you know, here's one in our Volume 8 newsletter about a soldier that's on his second deployment, and that he's letting us know he was baptized in the Gulf back in 2015, in the Persian Gulf, not the Gulf of Mexico, but while he was over in the Persian Gulf area. And so the message goes out. The gospel of Jesus Christ is still being proclaimed, and the reason that it goes out from this ministry is because of the faithful support, the prayers, and the financial support of the faithful remnant. Your tithes and your offerings allow these programs to go out. They allow the 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of the gospel message being put out all over the world and all over the country. Well, men,
amen.
Thanks for joining us. We do, again, invite you, Remnant, to join us at church tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast, at scripturesforamerica.org. When you go there to the homepage, just click on the live video stream, and you can join us for church. We encourage you to do so. Again, our address, if you want to write, Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, rolling, rolling.